talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. This is a breaking story, and it's going to continue to break. Donald Trump's 2024 support for presidency has cratered. There was a USA Today Suffolk University poll that just came out. By 2-1, all likely and possible Republican voters in primaries say that they want somebody with Trump's policies, but they don't want Trump. They want his policies. I don't think they know what his policies are. What, betray Ukraine, steal money, kowtow to Putin? What are his policies? So they say they want his policies. They don't want Trump. In the polls showing DeSantis against Trump, DeSantis beats Trump nationwide, all Republicans, 56-33. They want DeSantis over Trump. There's a 3.1% margin of error in this poll. And somebody made a very good observation, somebody you've heard of. His name is Michael Cohen. He's Trump's lawyer who was screwed by Trump. He's the one who executed the settlement with Stormy Daniels. And as a result, he went to jail for a couple of years. He got a sentence of a couple of years. Trump skated free. You know, everybody around Trump gets criminally convicted. Michael Cohen, Trump's CFO, chief financial officer, Paul Manafort, the chairman of his campaign, Roger Stone, all these people. And this guy, what, is Teflon? He just goes through it. And they are all getting cheated. They are all getting convicted and sentenced for things they did for him and that he wanted them to do. And what, he's not getting charged? I think the Republican Party is in for a big surprise. I also think that Trump is not really going to run. He's trying to say he's going to run. For two reasons. One reason is he thinks that once he's back in the public eye as a presidential candidate, prosecutors will be chicken to indict him for anything, even stealing classified records, whatever, everything. January 6th, fraud in New York, tax fraud, bank fraud on his properties, all of that. But there's another reason, and that is he does not have as much money as he says he does because he has huge debts. And this is a grift. He is able to continue to raise money. He has money fundraisers, emails all the time, raise hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's just a device. What has he really done to run for president? He filed a piece of paper. Filed a piece of paper. That's it. Who's his campaign manager? Who's his finance committee chairman? Who's his social media chairman, volunteer chairman? He has nothing. Because he has name recognition, he filed a piece of paper, and people are sending him money. And some prosecutors, in my opinion, are treading a little too warily about indicting him. When a guy steals that many classified documents, you know, there's a woman who took one document, classified, to show the press. She didn't sell it. And she put it back, showed the press something about Ukraine that undercut what Trump was trying to do, and she got a prison sentence. If she had stolen boxes, hundreds of documents, that were top secret, much more top secret than the document she took, she'd be in prison the rest of her life. And this guy is so far, no grand jury has even indicted him. The reason I say that I think the Republican Party is making a mistake, and I'm saying this tactically, they think, great, we can harvest Trump's, quote, issues, end quote, whatever they are. And they don't define his issues. The average Republican doesn't like Putin, doesn't want a president who is being blackmailed by Putin, who betrays us to Putin, like Trump did. They have in their own mind what his policies are. And the Republicans think they can just funnel in Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, and somehow, presto, you have Trump's toxic personality and baggage out of there, and you have pure gold. Got news for them. Let me give you an example of some things DeSantis is doing and has done. DeSantis just petitioned the Florida Supreme Court to convene a grand jury to investigate what he calls, quote, wrongdoing in Florida related to COVID-19 vaccines. Say that again. DeSantis has just petitioned the Florida Supreme Court to convene a grand jury to investigate, quote, wrongdoing in Florida related to COVID-19 vaccines. He is going bull goose loony, far right, on vaccines. On vaccines. The average person in this country, virtually everybody in this country, thinks that the vaccines were a good thing. Now, if you remember back in 2020, this thing really came to public attention, I mean COVID-19, in March of 2020. Wisconsin Governor Evers basically shut down the state. I think it was about March 16, something like that, 2020. People genuinely thought they could die if they caught it, and they could. There were all sorts of horror stories on the evening news every night. A wonderful doctor or a nurse, somehow their protective clothing didn't take, and they got it, and they died. There were no vaccines. There's nothing. The people that worked on the vaccines produced a medical miracle. They had a vaccine by January. Now, just so you know, the dirty little secret is they didn't just start in March of 2020. This particular, it's called COVID-19 because that arose in 2019. That was the year it arose. It arose in China. Then it came to the state of Washington and then California in early 2020. But the underlying biology research into the vaccine had been going on for years. It just was changing form. And they came up with a vaccine by January of 2021. People got it. People got two shots. People got boosted several times. Saved a lot of lives. Saved a lot of lives. DeSantis is making a big mistake going nutty on this stuff. If he were smart, I think he would look more towards Ronald Reagan than Donald Trump. Ronald Reagan said extraordinarily divisive things, bad things, stupid things, but he said it with a smile. You got to smile. People have to feel comfortable. People have to feel that you're not going to hurt them, that you're not kind of nuts, frankly. I mean, to put it a little much in the vernacular. And they don't want a guy that just comes out and goes, the vaccines, which there's a consensus, saved a lot of lives, and everybody that I know, most people got it, and they got boosted, and even kids are getting it, that somehow he's going to run on, let's attack the vaccines. The people who attacked vaccines and masks were the people who kidnapped Governor Whitmer, or tried to. Remember the governor of Michigan? These were anti-vaccine, anti-mask nuts, anti-lockdown nuts. I think DeSantis is trying to squeeze out nut jobs on the right from the Republican Party to contest him. People like Cruz, people like Governor Abbott of Texas, people like Josh Hawley of Missouri. But these people are all trivial. They're not gonna make it. So what the Republican Party may end up with, in my opinion, is no Trump candidacy. They coronate DeSantis and people don't like DeSantis. I've never seen him smile. He always grimaces and glowers and says stupid things, and he talks violent. Ronald Reagan never talked violent. Ronald Reagan declared his candidacy in Philadelphia, Mississippi, which was an abominable thing to do. Philadelphia, Mississippi was where the bombing occurred and the civil rights there and the young girls were killed. And what he was trying to do was say to the South, I'm not stigmatizing you anymore. I want you on my side. And that's the way he did it. And I didn't like it. And most people didn't like it. But he did it cheerfully with a grin. And then he backed away from all that and just said this morning in America. This guy, DeSantis, said that he would like to chuck. He talked about Dr. Fauci. I'd like to chuck that little elf across the Potomac. That's disrespectful. Reagan would not have, neither would John Kennedy, neither would Bill Clinton or Truman. Eisenhower, Roosevelt called a distinguished epidemiologist a little elf, or anybody else a little elf. They would not have denigrated him like that, and they wouldn't have threatened violence, throwing him across the Potomac. Yes, that's sort of symbolic, but even across the room, you throw an 82-year-old man across the room, hit his head, get a subdural hematoma. People don't like that kind of talk. Now, it's possible that Trump will run. He says he will in a half-baked fashion, but he's been hit with so much bad news, and he may still be indicted. So much bad news. Hanging out with Kanye West, who's plain peculiar. This guy, Nick Fuentes, who's basically a neo-Nazi. He is desperate to get attention. He's desperate to get attention. And the Republicans think they can plug DeSantis in, like a modular thing, just plug him in and keep the same issues. I don't think it's going to work. And I think Joe Biden will run again. Joe Biden's been an excellent president. Joe Biden will clean the clock of DeSantis or Donald Trump. We're going to break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I see you. Get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. Ronald Reagan couldn't get elected today in the Republican Party as it stands right now. Trump's numbers are down. There was an article in Yahoo News, which is good news. But DeSantis could very well be worse than Trump because Trump sent the template for him. And you're right, he never smiles. Also, I don't know how these people get elected. I understand there's gerrymandering and everything out there, but does Congress suck at do anything? Investigate Biden's kid, but other than that, they have no plan for inflation, Medicare, Social Security, right on down the line, zero. I don't know how the Democrats lose to these guys, but gerrymandering has some things to do with it. But Trump is more dangerous than, DeSantis is actually more dangerous than Trump because he's a little smoother at what he does. Okay, thanks, Barrett. Have a great day.
Yeah, no, those are some good comments. And let me just, before we go to our next, I just want to address that. DeSantis, if Trump does run, and by that I mean not just put in a piece of paper, that kind of thing, if he actually coughs up a campaign manager, a media coordinator, a campaign finance chairman, that kind of thing, social media, gets the volunteers out there, he still has a hardcore base in the Republican Party. And people put it at all kinds of numbers, but let's say it's 30%, and it literally could be. Guy starts with 30% of a motivated base in a primary, and there's a multi-party primary. It's winner take all in the Republican Party. You know, they'll go into these states. He could win them, and if he does, he is going to get all the delegates. And You may think you can't have crazies there, but you're wrong about that, because the winning candidate picks his crazies. He picks his delegates. And this particular convention's in Milwaukee, folks. It's in Milwaukee, where I'm broadcasting from right now. And you may see some odd life forms coming to this town. And I don't want to see all hell break loose, but I'm not sure if Trump actually goes through with this, that DeSantis can beat him. And if Trump drops out and DeSantis is the nominee, I think he's weak. I think he's very weak. When you vote for president, you know, other countries have a separation between the head of state and the head of government. In very old England, the head of state is King Charles. The head of government is the prime minister. Here, the president is the head of state and head of government. And people that want to vote for a head of state, in other words, the embodiment of our country, who's frankly a little peculiar, a little strange, talks about throwing an 82-year-old doctor, call him a little elf and throw him over the Potomac. Oppose vaccines. Hey, guy. I don't know where you're getting your advice. Go to the Lions. Bill of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Hi, I'm actually from South Milwaukee, the city of South Milwaukee.
Great, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Hey, I'm calling. You're talking about Ron DeSantis. This is going way back. You know who DeSantis reminds me of? I wasn't around then, but from what I've read about Thomas E. Dewey, this guy is Thomas E. Dewey for the 21st century.
Thomas E.
Well, you know, you said he never smiles. There was a story about Dewey that supposedly his picture was being taken. A photographer says to him, "Smile, Governor," and Dewey replied, "I thought I was."
You know, Bill, that's fantastic. And I'm going to build on that historical analogy. Dewey was the Republican nominee for president against Franklin Roosevelt in the early 40s. And he was the principal lawyer in Dewey, Ballantyne, Bush, Bixby, Palmer, and Wood, a big New York firm. And one of the things that killed him, everybody thought that this guy was going to win. Everybody thought this guy was going to win. And they tried to take on Truman as well in 1948. He made a big mistake. In those days, you didn't fly around by airplane if you were a presidential candidate. And so what you did was, You leased a whole train, and it went around the country. Well, he was going to give a speech somewhere, I think in Ohio, and he was standing on sort of the caboose. There's a platform with flags and all this stuff. And when they approached the train station, there was some malfunction, and the train operator had to just jam on the brakes. And nobody got hurt, but Dewey got shaken up a little bit and bumped up against the wall. And he turns around and he says, "Shoot him. Shoot the train operator." Well, people heard this stuff. It goes, this is the kind of guy he was. And Bill, your story about where they say, "Smile, Governor," he said, "I thought I was." That is so priceless. Right, he does. Dewey also had a little mustache. Now, nobody has facial hair running for president anymore. But in those days, he had this little mustache, and somebody said to him, "You know, Hitler had a mustache, and you may want to shave the mustache." "Ah, the heck with it! They know I'm not Hitler." So the guy comes out with a mustache saying, "Shoot the train operator," and DeSantis does remind me of that, other than the mustache, and I bet he like a mustache. And so DeSantis, absolutely dour. Always kind of with a slight growly look to him, and saying, he didn't say, "Shoot the train operator." He said, "Throw Fauci over the Potomac." You're right. I hadn't thought about Dewey. People don't like that kind of thing. And I'm really talking now about the 1948 race that he ran against Truman. Actually, I'm not sure he did run earlier than that against Roosevelt. Maybe he did. But in 48, remember, there's a famous headline, "Dewey beats Truman," and they held it up because it was a close race. And Truman raised it for a picture, as a great picture. And when all the votes came in, Truman had beaten Dewey. Dewey beats Truman. Excellent analogy, Bill. Thank you very much for calling in from South Milwaukee. A lot of friends in South Milwaukee. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. New development, we'll see how it works out. Joe Manchin, Senator Manchin of West Virginia, has just announced that he may very well become an independent. And here's what his statement was. His statement was, quote, "I'm not a Washington Democrat. I'll look at all these things," end quote. "I'm not a Washington Democrat. I'll look at all these things," end quote. Here's the backstory. Let me give you the backstory. The last time he ran in West Virginia, he won by about 3%. And the previous time, he won by double digits. Country's changed. The red states have changed. They've gotten redder. Trump had one of his highest. I think it's a close call between Wyoming and West Virginia, but one of his highest vote percentages was West Virginia, and Manchin's up again in 2024. So Manchin is trying to weigh, if I run as a Democrat, will that designation drag me down? But if I run as an independent, I don't have the benefit of any party affiliation. And am I a strong enough name and persona in West Virginia to carry it off? But he may end up joining Sinema. With Sinema, the Democrats didn't want her anymore. And Sinema knew she was toast, and she'd lose in the Democratic primary. Ruben Gallego, down there in Arizona, good man, Marine Corps veteran, combat veteran, brought himself up from his bootstraps, and he's running, and he would have beaten her in a primary. The problem for her is, if she runs as an independent and Ruben Gallego runs as a Democrat, do they split the vote, really, and let the Republican win? And the Republican is likely to be a Carrie Lake or a Masters again, a real certifiable nut. That's what it's liable to be. And I think the bet is that if the Republicans put up somebody halfway decent, just sane, somebody sane, somebody who is not, doesn't make your skin crawl, they might win. But the Republicans can be counted on in Arizona to put somebody up who makes your skin crawl. Look at Carrie Lake, look at Master. When you think about it, Arizona used to be one of the most conservative states in the union. Barry Goldwater's state, Mr. Conservative. Yes, it's had some California people come in the state, move there. But the border leaks like a sieve. In some cases, there are 1,000 or 2,000 people a day coming over the border. And they elect two Democrats. They elect Senator Kelly again. And then they elect Katie Hobbs as governor. That is a direct correlation to the weird nature of the candidates they put up. People are not going to put up somebody, not going to do it, who makes their skin crawl. In West Virginia, if Manchin runs as an independent, it's not clear what Democrat has the chops, has the name recognition even run. There are a couple of weird Republicans. You know, Shelley Moore Caputo, who is the other senator, I should say, in West Virginia, her father was governor of West Virginia, is sort of a moderate. She's sort of like a Susan Collins type. So West Virginia may not be entirely down with some guy running who's a right-wing Republican nut. The problem is, though, Manchin, to try to show himself as independent, has stuck a knife in some of the core issues of our party. And when I say our party, and I mean our nation. The same with Sinema, and they made a big mistake. Manchin's been a little better than Sinema because he did finally not just support not just hard infrastructure, but soft infrastructure. And even though the climate provisions he wanted to try to appease some of his coal constituency got stripped out, he still went along with everything. But he would not suspend the filibuster for voting rights. And Manchin would not suspend the filibuster for voting rights. And if they had, there would be federal legislation now signed by Biden before Kevin McCarthy comes in to run the new Congress that would have outlawed gerrymandering in every state, required fair maps in every state, required standard pre-election voting, absentee voting, both in person and by paper, standard methods for counting it, standard methods in every state for the number of machines needed per 1,000 people, standards for security of those machines. It's exactly what this country needs, and at some point in our history, we will get, but because of Manchin and Sinema, we're not getting it. And I, to this day, do not understand why they didn't go along with it, because it showed approval ratings between 60 and 70% in their states. Now, Sinema, I think, frankly, has lost it. I think she's absolutely lost her marbles. Sinema, when they asked her, she held a press conference, why she is becoming independent and getting out of the Democratic Party, she said, quote, "I want to get the poison out of politics." The poison, in other words, be associated with either party is poison. I don't often agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but she said something I think makes a lot of sense. And she said, that isn't what it is. Sinema doesn't stand for anything. She just wants everybody to vote for her and put her in, and then whatever whim strikes her, she'll vote for it. That's not a winning message. I don't think she's going to get reelected. I think by leaving the Democratic Party, she sealed her fate. She should have taken her chance with the Ruben Gallego, and if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. But no, she stands for nothing. Manchin, I think, does stand for things, but he temporized. He temporized. And what he did was he stuck a knife in voting rights, and that is something that I find it, I can't forgive. Sinema also, by the way, is the one who tanked tax reform that would have required hedge fund operators to pay income taxes. They don't pay income. Did you know that? They have incomes of $50 million, $100 million, $2 billion a year. They don't pay income taxes. They got lobbyists to redesignate their income as carried interest, and they pay half the percentage. And she did it to get donations. I would not support her, and frankly, I'm not going to support Manchin because he stabbed voting rights. Going to the lines, Jesse of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jesse?
Hey, Matt. You know, I'm a true blue, like really dyed-in-the-wool progressive, but I'm also a pragmatist. And what really matters out of what Sinema has done and what Manchin may or may not do is whether or not they're going to still vote for whatever organizing resolution put forth at the beginning of the next Senate. Whether they put an I or a D next to their name doesn't really matter. Probably not going to change how they vote about any particular bill. All that matters at this point, and all we can hope to have some handle on, is committee makeup. And as long as we don't have to do the same 50-50 sharing with Republicans on committee makeup, then that's what's going to matter or not matter for the next 2 years. Now, in 2024, the unfortunate reality is that if Sinema runs again, Manchin almost certainly will, and this signals that Sinema probably would when otherwise she was thought to maybe get a consulting job, is will they continue to do that in the future? And as much as I would love to primary them into oblivion, you know, look what happened up in Oregon with the governor's race. You had a corporate Democrat, Johnson, you know, deciding that she was going to run as an independent. She peeled off 8.5% of the vote. Now, I don't like or trust Sinema as far as I can throw her, but at the same time, we can't win Arizona, or we can't afford to lose it to a Republican if we're going to give up 5 or even 3% of the vote there. And if, you know, if we primary her and we get behind Gallego, unfortunately, I just don't know how we can win Arizona.
You know, that's a profound analysis of it, and I want to dig a little deeper in that, because you raised some essential points, and I want to give you some good news first. The good news first is every indication from people I've talked to is that Manchin hates the Republicans. So Manchin, in a million years, will never become a Republican, never will vote for a Republican, and will never vote to organize for a Republican, in other words, for Moscow Mitch. So I think we have him. When it comes to Sinema, the good news is, the backstory is, she went privately to Schumer and she said, I want to stay on the committees and I will vote for you in the organization of the Senate. And he agreed. So that deal's been cut. And so when they elect the majority leader, he's going to get 51 votes. He's going to get, there are four independents, by the way. Angus King of Maine is an independent. Bernie Sanders of Vermont's an independent. Sinema is an independent, and Manchin's making noises. But I think we're okay. And Jesse's point, which is essential, by the way, everybody, is that when you organize the Senate, if you have 51 votes, you get a majority, you get the chairmanship of every committee, and you get the majority of them. So that if it's a party line vote, that legislation, say, of Biden's will go out to the floor, and we will get our agenda through. If it's a 50-50 vote, which is what it's been, I think we had the titular chairmanship, but you don't have the right to issue subpoenas unless you have some Republican support. And you also have a 50-50 membership on the committee. So if there's a tie, that's not a recommendation out. It's essential. That's why John Fetterman's victory over Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania was so important. He's the 51st vote. And then suddenly we see two wobblies. We see Sinema and Manchin. And we knew they were wobbly anyway, but at least they were Democrats. Now, I want to address the other thing Jesse said, because this is a debate that is raging privately in Washington, and it doesn't get enough attention. What do you do with Manchin and Sinema? Ruben Gallego would be a far better senator if we could get him elected. But what happens if Ruben Gallego runs, we get behind him, and Sinema runs? She's going to get a lot of votes simply because people know her name, and she's been a, and half of them will think she still is a Democrat. If a Republican, in my view, is halfway sane, they would win something like that. Jesse, my feeling is, if it's Carrie Lake or Blake Masters, they are so insane that they will peel that. Somebody like Sinema may peel off some Republican votes that would have gone to the Republican. But the other thing is, you can't stop ambition. And if Ruben Gallego announces he's crazy to do it unless Schumer and the Democrats signal some support, but stand by. You're right. No, we could lose it. We could lose Manchin. See, we could lose Tester in Montana. He's wondering whether to run again. And Trump won that state by 14 points in 2020, and Bullock, the popular Democratic governor, lost by 10 points to a guy who roughed up a reporter physically and was charged. And he's now the governor of Montana, a thug. So I think Tester's good. And I like Tester. I mean, he's an impressive guy, Democrat, our guy. But I think that Tester is looking at this thing saying, if Trump won by 14 and even my friend Bullock, who's as good as I am, lost by 10, am I supposed to outdo Trump and Bullock? We could lose that. We could lose that. And so stand by. The lines are open. I see you. We're going to go to the break, very, very short break. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. But to finish up on Jesse's call, I can't control what these guys do, neither can you. But there's no enthusiasm in Arizona for Sinema to get Bjacker to Bjacker in any kind of race. With Manchin, I think there's a little more enthusiasm. But can he win in West Virginia, which has either the first or second largest margin for Trump? Stay on the line. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I know it, baby. You know it, too.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. There are four of you. I will get you in this segment at 2 minutes each. Take you in line. We're going first to Allie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling us for my day, Allie.
Hi, Matt. I just want to put my two cents in about Sinema. First, I remember another thing she did a while ago when they were talking about, it was some kind of pharmaceutical thing that we were trying to get through.
Right.
And she stood in the way of that. And it was like totally obvious. You could see a direct line from the lobbyists paying her off to her vote. Like, so that's just like another thing that she's done. And then I think she would lose. Absolutely, in Arizona. I mean, just the Voting Rights Act alone, you know, it polls so popular, you know, what, 60 to 70% popularity, and she stood in the way of that. So I think she has a terrible chance to win.
No,
that's
excellent
like you said.
Point.
Oh, and the last thing I want to say is that I wish you were on for 2 hours still. Thank you.
You're very kind, Allie. Thank you so much. And I'll tell you, you're absolutely right. In other words, you can't force the people of Arizona to like some, you know, and the Democrats don't want her because of voting rights, because of the hedge fund income tax, and because of pharmaceuticals. And so maybe what you do is you go with your heart and your enthusiasm. Thanks an awful lot for calling. Ross of Crawford County, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Ross?
Hey, Matt. So I'm a 62-year-old Democrat. I see myself as a moderate Democrat. That is I don't feel like, even though I grew up in Madison and I really love Mark Pocan, he's a really great, you know, he's a great representative for Madison. And what I'm commenting, what I want to do is I wonder if the Democratic Party, though, could be a bit more flexible. So if Sinema starts to sort of go to the right or sort of acts as an independent, and if Manchin's always been kind of a moderate Democrat, I sometimes wish that we as Democrats could then say, this is all, the only thing we can hope to accomplish is what Manchin and when we need them accomplish. But I sort of feel like we see ourselves as far left. You know, Mark Pocan runs, he's in the Progressive Party aspect of a caucus. And I remember it was about a couple of years ago when the Progressive Caucus, they spent a couple of years creating this really sort of progressive agenda, and it fell flat. I feel like they wasted their time. I wish the Democrats could just say, this is what we can do, and then try to accomplish that instead of beating up on all these guys that are and representatives that are moderate Democrats. Isn't it okay to be a moderate?
Russ, thanks for calling. I know what you're saying, but what I would say to counter it is simply this. No one's asking Sinema or Manchin to be progressives or be in the Progressive Party. But, you know, there are most of the other Democrats, and some of them are fairly moderate to conservative Democrats, still voted for voting rights. I mean, they still voted to make hedge fund operators pay income taxes, and they still voted for pharmaceutical relief, and especially for insulin. You know, insulin was costing $500 a month, and it came down. So no one's asking them to go full frontal Bernie. No one's asking them to be Bernie. But we're asking them, if you take a look at every other Democrat, there's a lot of folks around who are Democrats, Kelly, for instance, of Arizona and others, and they all did the right thing. I think that's the thing. I agree with you. You can't force them into something. But I would also say, backing up what Ali said before, that you can't force people to like a candidate. And the Democrats in Arizona right now, I don't think would support Sinema, sadly. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling, Jack. What's in your mind today?
Well, I thought that if the Senate had flipped to Republican, I would not have been surprised at all to see Sinema in particular, and possibly even Manchin, switch parties. They want to be part of the party, part of the power structure. That's their whole thing. And doing this independent thing, they're able to cut some deals that I think as Democrats they couldn't cut. You know, specifically Sinema being able to stay on committees, and she's still a deciding vote, but which means they're going to have to, you know, cut some more deals with her.
Right.
So that's what I think this is about for those two.
Yeah, you know, that's a good insight. And I think what's going on is the good thing that Jesse brought up before was, will they vote to organize the Senate with the Democratic majority leader? I mean, that's essential. And I think the answer is yes. From what I've seen, the answer is yes. So that's something. But you're right. I mean, there's going to be an issue-by-issue discussion. Biden's been a master at getting stuff through. He'll have him to the White House. But the larger question is, what do they both do in 2024? Do they run? Because if Sinema runs, I don't think she's going to win. But can Ruben Gallego win then either? And do we have a Republican, which is worse? And that's a tough decision. And the Arizona Democrats are going to have to make that. Thanks a lot. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Well, something else out of Arizona, something that truly is awful, Kerry Lake. You know, here's a person that threw all the McCain people out of a rally last month, right? Now, have you heard her latest act on, you know, getting Griner out of the prison? She said she would have stayed. Now, I was never a huge, huge fan of John McCain's, but I had huge respect for him.
Right.
And she's trying to tell you now that she would have stayed and done a John McCain type thing. Yeah, sure you would have.
Yeah. Well, you know what she said in that, which I can't believe. She only lost by, what, 14, 20,000 votes, something like that. And she lost because Republicans didn't vote for her. And she said at a rally, she loves to just say the obvious for to the Trump side. She said, quote, "We finally driven a stake in the heart of the McCain people." Wait a minute. McCain was a senator there for a long time. McCain was a prisoner of war with the Viet Cong for 4 or 5 years. They offered to let him go because his father was an admiral, and they wanted to demoralize the troops. And he said, "I'm not going till every Navy man in this Hanoi Hilton goes." And this guy had guts. They tortured him. And Trump made fun of him. Trump was a draft dodger. He supposedly had bone spurs. He said, "I don't like guys who were captured." McCain was shot out of the sky. He was flying a plane, and he lay unconscious with broken bones in a jungle path. He wasn't captured because he surrendered. He was unconscious. And then Lake says, "We're going to drive a stake in his heart." You drive a stake in a vampire's heart. You don't drive a stake in John McCain's heart. That ticked a lot of people off. If she had a brain in her head, she would have embraced McCain, said, "Look, he was a war hero, and I respect him." And instead, she makes these kind of terrible comments. If she's the nominee for the Senate, and Ruben Gallego is, and Kyrsten Sinema is, what happens? I don't know. I flat out don't know. But Kyrsten Sinema, by opposing voting rights and opposing reforms, making hedge funds pay income taxes, and opposing things like insulin relief, they don't want her down there. Thanks, everybody, for calling. Terrific calls. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. I'm signing off for today.